This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the all-new evening edition. Caroline and Uma with you. And we're moving on now to some startling statistics from UNICEF's study on children and poverty.
Yep, so the study in question, I guess, is called Children Without, a study of urban child poverty and deprivation in low-cost flats in KL. And what it reveals is that 97% of low-cost flat households, that's families with a median income of 2,500 ringgit a month, have said that high food prices have prevented them from eating healthy meals. But what is, I guess, startling is that it translates to a higher number in malnutrition for children that are from this income bracket. So the national average stands at 22%.
That's a big number. The other worrying result from this report is that of education. Apparently, 51% of children aged 5 and 6 did not attend preschool, while 2% aged 7 to 17 have never been enrolled in school. Now, the main reason for this is parents not having enough funds to put their kids through school. On top of that, children living in these low-cost flats don't have a proper space to study. 81% of them study in their living rooms together with other members of their family sitting there watching TV. Yeah. It's not the most conducive environment.
Well, you know, there's also the issue of safety and poor living conditions as well. And, you know, I think sometimes we tend to live in this little bubble and we don't imagine things like this happening. It's only when, you know, statistics are revealed through studies like this that you kind of have an idea of what's going on. And honestly, it is quite shocking.
Yeah, and it's all a really, really interesting work that UNICEF is actually doing, because an important work, right? Because governments have plans, right? You know, they'll say, hey, we've got a plan to eradicate poverty.
Yeah.
But the problem is that plan needs to change, because every 5 to 10 years, things change, situations change. So you may have eradicated extreme poverty, for example, but now there's a new problem.
Right.
So people aren't starving anymore. They aren't desperate for food, but it doesn't make their problems any less important.
Yeah, I mean, that's really true and an important point. I guess, you know, that plans need to be loose enough, I guess, to evolve with the time, right? That's forward planning. And unfortunately for us, when it comes to planning, never mind forward planning, it hasn't really historically been our strong suit.
But here's the sad thing about that, and I guess the most depressing notion, is that there is no solution, right? It's just a constant game of catch-up. You know, it's not like we're going to say, hey, no more poverty, it's all done, good to go.
No, but that's the thing, is that we don't have to reinvent the wheel. There are many countries that go through the same situation. I'm not saying that everybody's solution is, you know, you can
it's not a cookie cutter solution, right?
Exactly. But there are, you know, many good lessons that we can actually take from them. Anyway, to get more insights from this UNICEF study, Uma, you went straight to the source.
Yeah.
Right? Earlier, you spoke with Dr. Amjad Rabi, UNICEF Malaysia's deputy representative, and also Dr. Muhammad Khalid, managing director of DM Analytics. So we're just going to play that conversation right now.
So the report cites children's nutrition, education, safety and living conditions as deprived while living in low-cost flats. What were the most troubling findings for you, and what was your main takeaway?
Lots of main takeaways, I must admit. It's because the way we look at poverty is not one single shot. It's not income or one. It's the holistic vision. So we need to look at the child living, what he or she needs to be to reach her or his full potential. And it's not only one item. So we've seen, for instance, education that 51% of preschool, the age 5 to 6, so one out of two of the age 5 to 6 don't go to school.
Right.
And we know that's strong. That is, the 11th Malaysian plan wanted it to be 100%. So that's something very major, because it has consequence. We've seen some issues on nutrition Dr. Muhammad can share with us. We've seen also like some issues related to space where kids can study. I mean, here imagine, you know, like a kid sitting in the living room, father, grandmother, all of them, they're sitting watching TV, and you wanted her to study or him to study and be successful. Yet what strikes me, despite of all these conditions, children, they did well in comparison to the national average. I think that's a positive thing to say.
Correct. And there are many, I agree with Ramja, there's many findings that worrying. But there are also findings that I'm pleased that came out during our survey. In particular, that the correct misconception. We always thought these people in low-cost flat, they don't work. They have too many children. That's not true. Not true at all. All of them, majority, 9 out of 10, they work full-time. And they work longer hours than average Malaysian workers, but at lesser pay, number one. So to say that, oh, they're poor, they don't work, not true. But the income's low. Number two, there's too many kids. Not true, ma. Average number of children for this family, 2. Almost the same as the national average. Only 5% have 5 kids and more. But the family size is slightly bigger. You know why? 3 generations. 1 in 5 have 3 generations. And this, we usually stigmatize the poor. They're poor, they don't work hard, they're too many kids, irresponsible. That's not true. They work harder than many of us.
So tell me this, following the study's results, do you think the government's intervention in addressing child poverty has had some sort of impact?
We need to put things in context. It's always like something in development. Whenever we reach a target, that target's not mission accomplished, that we should celebrate. It's actually increase the demand. People will ask for more. The goalposts keep changing. So previously, Malaysia has been a very successful story. We shouldn't argue on this in terms of how one of the poorest country becomes where we are now. But the development goals are changing now. So instead of talking about extreme poverty, people don't have enough food on the table, now we talk about relative poverty. We talk about access to information. We look at higher level objectives. Lots of initiatives the government has done so far, but this is the nature of development. Things change, and we really need always to pause and reflect and redefine our mechanisms, our targets. Mm-hmm. And it's this coming at an opportune time when now the government is looking at the midterm review of its 11th Malaysian plan. The hope is this will contribute to this process.
Correct. Maybe I can add. We look at this as a second generation issues. Before, take for example, infant mortality. When we got our independence, for every 1,000 kids, about 80, close to 80, would not celebrate the first birthday. Now less than 8. We solved that. But now the problem is, kids that manage to celebrate first birthday or fifth birthday, they're not healthy. You know, 1 in 5, we find our kids stunted. In certain states, 1 in 3. Now, there's a second problem, right? Before, we tried to solve those issues, not surviving. Now, they survive. We solve it. Pat on the back. We've done well. But there's another issue. And this is what we want to highlight.
So the lack of funds is the main complaint of parents, saying they don't have enough to send their kids to school or feed them 3 meals a day. Can you talk to us about some of the suggestions that UNICEF has put forward that can be implemented?
We have a crystal clear call of action on this one. Again, Malaysia, it needs to look at its at herself as a developed country. And developed countries, they have instruments like universal child grant. So we give it to every child. And this is something, an instrument, we put it forward in a proposal for the government. And here we are talking about children actually from pregnancy, because it matters, to the age of 2 years old. A small amount of money, 200 ringgit each. It's not much for the government. Even if you would give it, when you give it universally, we call it to give it universally, it will be less than, it's about half 1% of the GDP of this country. It's small investment. I think Dr. Mohammed might want to elaborate on this one, on this proposal in particular.
The government has done, actually, to be fair, they've done a lot. If you're poor kids, they give assistance, monetary assistance, food in school. But we suggest you start earlier. If you're stunted, for instance, you cannot reverse it. If you're 5, you're stunted, you cannot. When you're 15, you're not stunted. No, it's not possible. The best time to start is 1,000 days, the first 1,000 days. 5 months in the pregnancy and the first 2 years. How much is it going to cost? We calculated, the Amjad calculated, 0.5% of GDP. In absolute amount, it's about less than 4 billion, 3.6. That's half of BRIM. You can fine-tune BRIM and give to these kids, and it's going to give you a better impact, not only now, but also importantly in the future.
An observation was made about how this is a global phenomenon, there where we'd find the capital city flourishing, but a closer look at certain pockets within the city showed families and children suffering in this way, in poverty. Why do you think that is?
Many reasons. Like, if we look at the process of urbanization in Malaysia, at time of independence, here you have in Malaysia 1 out of 5 only lives in cities. And now it reversed to the opposite. Actually, one out of five lives in rural Malaysia. So you see, it's very, very rapid urbanization. So you get, and it's driven not by fertility rate. The city have many children. No, it's immigration from rural to urban. So it's not everyone comes to the city has the skill set that is rewarded in the urban labor market. Some of them they will participate in low return kind of low skill labor activities. So that's where you start seeing disparity, the ones with the skill set and the ones who don't have the skill set. It's also a statistical issue as well. We need also to highlight this. In rural areas, communities kind of what we call it homogeneous, everyone living the same condition. In cities, you have the poor and rich live in the same community. All you need to have one billionaire in the community that artificially the average of everyone is high. You look at national statistics, everyone in cities is better off than rural area. But what we try to do here, to isolate, to take the rich, okay, we're interested more in the living conditions of on the urban poor. And that's why we see it in all countries. The way we collect data, we always use the average. And the average masks lots of disparity. We try to unpack the average to zoom in and get a better view.
That was Dr. Amjad Rabi, UNICEF Malaysia's Deputy Representative, and Dr. Muhammad Khalid, Managing Director of DM Analytics. The Breakfast Grill will feature both Dr. Amjad and Dr. Muhammad this Thursday, 1st of March at 8 a.m. Make sure you catch that in-depth discussion about UNICEF. About the UNICEF study with the Morning Run's Melissa Idris. We merely scratched the surface here today, and it's going to be an extended grill this Thursday, so you really want to tune in to that. You're listening to the all-new Evening Edition. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.